Just start off, tell us who you are, where you are, and what you're doing here.
I'm Gareth, Gareth Benest. I am the Director of Advocacy for the International Broadcasting Trust, and I'm here to listen, and I'm here to talk to some of the MPs and some of our members, which are development and humanitarian and environmental NGOs, and to have conversations about how this new government can do better in terms of supporting our media, particularly our public service broadcasters, to bring the world to UK audiences, so to bring more international coverage to mass audiences across the UK.
And where is here?
Good question. Here is Liverpool. We're at the Labour Party conference down on the docks in Liverpool. And it's the end of the second, third day? I don't know, time's slipping. But I think this is pretty much the final day. So it's running a bit on fumes now.
Well, the sun's out now, so that's been a relief from the rain we've had. So the kind of key events you've been to, media isn't, reform of media or media policy doesn't appear to be, it isn't on the surface here, but there are some things that may be below the surface. What have you picked up on?
Yeah, I've been to a few events which have covered topics of particular interest to us as an organisation. One this morning, an event organised by the BBC World Service, and that was an encouraging event to be a part of. There were a lot of MPs in the room and a lot of Lords as well, members of the House of Lords, and there remains a great deal of interest and engagement and sympathy towards the work of the World Service. And what we're hearing now more from the BBC and from the BBC beyond the World Service is a more bullish line about the need to actually address the funding of the World Service. It is currently 75% of the World Service is paid for by the licence fee payer, a terrific wheeze of George Osborne back in the coalition government. That is causing great problems for the World Service because it is subject to the same cuts as the rest of the BBC is. And as you know, Rob, the BBC is about 35% down in terms of its overall funding. So that really seriously impacts the work of the World Service. And there were senior members of the teams from the Russian service and from the Persian service talking about their work and talking about how important it is and how dangerous it is and how they are competing against Chinese and Russian, among other state broadcasters who are moving into the spaces in which they're vacating because of financial constraints. So it's good to hear the BBC saying, look, basically this needs to be funded by central government again. Currently around a quarter of its funds come from the Foreign Commonwealth and Development Office, the FCDO. It's good to hear that line and good to hear it being articulated so powerfully and backed by some of the new MPs and some of the members of the House of Lords.
And the Lisa Nandy has been quite prominent in the events I've been to about talking about the kind of role of arts and culture, and I was kind of surprised to learn that she's also responsible for civic society. Have you picked up any stuff around that kind of social need for and social purpose of media that might be bubbling underneath the surface?
Not directly in relation to public service broadcasting so much. I'm not sure those lines have been so clearly drawn. They need to be. And I think, you know, I've heard those kinds of conversations in relation to arts and culture more generally. So in terms of the theatre and the visual arts and all other forms of our creative life. But I've not heard that clearly articulated in the way that we like to and we would like to hear that, you know, public service broadcasters in particular they still reach mass audiences in a way that no other form of media or creative art does. And so it's important that they are acknowledged as being critical to our democracy and our civil society, that this is not something that we can allow to just continue to bumble along or indeed fester. Our public service broadcasters need much more support, much more acknowledgement, and I'd like to hear the Labour Party, the government, really rowing behind them, and not just the BBC, but Channel 4, ITV, Channel 5. I don't hear any acknowledgement of their crucial role in our civil society, and what it would mean without them. So, yeah.
We've both had some conversations about the role of journalism, and it was interesting to see Lisa Nandy quoted, I think it was in Broadcast magazine, about saying TV, you know, news shouldn't just be about impartiality between two competing sides, but it should be about truth and objectivity. All of our independent, small-scale independent news organisations in the UK, one represented here, is there a conversation taking place? Because, you know, the big news broadcasters cause a bit of consternation about the way they throw, you know, brickbats at the politicians and vice versa. But the kind of level of work that we support in terms of community-driven, independent, small-scale journalism, news, community organisations producing content and media. Does that shift anything to have a government that says, no, actually, we really value something which is, is more than just the market for news and information?
Yeah, I don't know if I've heard that, Rob. I mean, I'd like to hear that. I'd like to hear much more acknowledgement of the importance of community media. Local news is discussed, but I don't think they're the same thing. Local news is often provided now by huge corporations, such as it is. So, no, I don't hear any conversation about community media, community arts in general. I'd like for there to be an acknowledgement of how critically important that is to bringing our societies together. And they're increasingly fractured communities and societies. No, I haven't seen that space open up. You know, the usual media are here, and the usual media are being discussed. And I think, you know, probably the closest you would get to outside of the mainstream would be some of the podcasters that are here, and some of the smaller radio stations. But no, there doesn't seem to be a space for that. And I think that's a real shame. I think they could have done with a much more holistic, creative space in this conference, where, you know, creativity in all its forms and all its scales could have been explored and talked about. But, you know, maybe that's unrealistic to expect that in a conference like this, you know. Maybe there needs to be a real fringe, an alternative conference somewhere else in the city where we talk about the real things.
There's an awful lot of talk about AI at the conference, and lots of sessions running about AI. Have you attended anything looking at the kind of implications of generative and administrative AI systems for news?
No, I haven't, Rob. I've intended to, but every AI session that I've seen seems to be framed in terms of what are the perils of AI, and how's it going to destroy civilization as we know it, and which it may very well might. But it's not what I'm. There are other things that I'm interested to hear about. I'm very interested to explore what does it mean for the media. What does it mean for organisations like those that we represent? Humanitarian and development agencies, and how can we harness it rather than what are the reasons that we ought to be terrified about it? Because I sort of feel like I have a good sense of what are the reasons that we should be scared, and I also think nobody really knows. So I'd rather hear people talking about what we do know or what we can do that is positive and exciting rather than doom-mongering. But perhaps you've been to sessions that are more uplifting than I've read about.
Well, no, I mean, I went to a couple where, you know, really where it was kind of like AI was being talked about. There was, I think it was a News Association event. It was really being talked about quite critically. And I think it's a lot of talk about remunerating freelancers and making sure, you know, from a trade union, if you like, perspective of making sure that people actually get paid. Now, whether that's followed up on is a difficult matter because it's a dispersed industry. But, you know, looking at things like rights, and I think there was broad agreement across the media and creative art sector, creative industry sector, if you want to call it that, is that freelancers are really struggling and that needs to be dealt with. So that was quite encouraging. The other factor was really listening to conversations where people said that the silo working across government has got to stop. And people from different groups, different civil society groups, businesses, rather than everybody being dealt with separately within these compartments, is actually saying, well, no, we need to talk to people in this team as well as this team as well as this team. Can we foster those collaborations? And the advice that was given was to find the individual MPs who've got a passion for that area and find out the address of their assistant so that you can contact their assistant. So that's the way to get through to them, and send them something very brief. You said they're overwhelmed with information at the moment, and, you know, offers and everything, and they really just need succinct hooks to get them interested in things. So that was quite encouraging that somebody was being kind of honest about that.
That sounds good. I mean, look, when it comes to dealing with something like AI, I guess we need an organized approach to this. We need, you know, a separate entity, I think, to really understand what's going on. I haven't got a clue what's going on with AI, but I'm interested to find out, and I'd like some independent or some authoritative information to be coming out about what it looks like and how the UK as a whole, and, you know, like you say, the government as a whole, ought to respond to it in a joined up way. Because I'm quite sure, as you say, all of the departments will be thinking about it and worrying about it, and there may not be the required sort of coordination between them. I think we need a maybe Rishi Sunak could come back and head up a commission to look at AI. He seemed pretty keen on it. I think it's too important to leave to the different areas of government to work out what it means. I don't expect that Lisa Nandy and her team, as good as they are going to sufficiently answer the question as to what does this mean for our arts and cultural and media sectors. It's I mean, that in itself is a huge, huge task in trying to understand it. But yeah, I mean, it seems like people like Chris Bryant are thinking about this. I've heard him talking about this question, and particularly about getting some form of reparations for the creative sector for their, I'm not sure if reparations would be the right word, but fair pay, yeah, absolutely, for stuff that's already been fed into the machine, for stuff that's already been learnt from, and which those in the creative sector can see AI is producing derivatives of. So I think that's a good thing. It's good to hear that conversation going on. But that's important. But it's also looking backwards. It's saying, okay, you know, how do we heal some of the damage that's been done? But this stuff is moving faster than Skynet. You know, I mean, we need to really have a coordinated way of thinking about it and preparing for it as a society.
And caught between the EU and the USA, we're kind of like this little, you know, bobbing along. You know, it's caught between the two whales. We're a cork in between them. Yeah. So last question then is what's been fun? I mean, what's your observation? General observation. My observation is that I kind of really wasn't prepared for so many people in suits. You know, my first time at a Labour Party conference, and I kind of thought it'd be, you know, jeans, dungarees, you know, kind of Doc Martens, that kind of thing. But no, it's lots and lots of people in suits and rugs. With laptops in them, but you know, it's been okay. I've had some good conversations, but actually a bit boring. really.
Yeah, I'll go along with that. Look, you and I are representing the Scruffy Brigade, Rob. You know, we're doing our best to hold up our end. It hasn't been as much fun. Maybe I wasn't expecting as much fun, but, you know, I was kind of, I don't know, maybe they're just more disciplined. Maybe they're, I did think about it earlier. I thought, wow, I wonder if, you know, they have made a deliberate effort now that they're in government to be disciplined and sensible. Scott's night was quite fun on Sunday night. I'm not sure how the message about discipline that got through. But, you know, that's what you'd expect. But no, there hasn't been, I haven't seen Emily Thornberry doing karaoke or anything, you know, like that, which I'd be excited to watch. But no, it's there's been some good conversations, a few good laughs along the way. It's been a pleasure spending time with you, Rob. But no, not so much fun as I'd hoped. But it has been an enjoyable experience. I've learned a lot, and I've gained a better understanding, I think, of who the Labour Party are and where they're heading. So, yeah, it's been good.
Where can people get in contact with you if they want to?
They can give me a shout by email. They can just put in gareth@ibt.org.uk, or they can go to ibt.org.uk to find out more about our organisation. And, yeah, happy to hear from anyone and anyone.